isn't Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky, kiddies.
Oh, evil!
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, the Metropolitan Opera star, Lawrence Melchior. Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if you ever want to have me paid, my name is Kenny Delmar. gentlemen, a certain news commentator starts his program saying, "Ah, there's good news tonight." We start our show by saying, "Ah, there's bad news tonight." And here it is. Meet Fred Allen. Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, speaking of news, it may interest you to know that I was called to Washington this week.
Oh, still trying to get out of the draft, huh?
No. No, Kenny, General Grant straightened that out for me.
Mr. Allen!
Well, of course.
What is your question tonight?
Was your family income higher in 1944? And if it was, what accounted for the increase?
Shall we go?
As the nostril said to the Kleenex, I think I'll blow. Ah, something tells me the Senate is home. I smell chitlings cooking.
Somebody, I say somebody now.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
You don't have to...
I'm from the South. The only candy I eat is cotton candy.
I don't care what...
I've seen Gone with the Wind 72 times.
Look, I don't
when
care...
When I'm in New York, I refuse to drive through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Now... Now, look, Senator.
Yeah, what's eating your son out with
well,
it?
I just would
your
like...
jaw keeps wagging, but nothing comes out.
Well, I don't get
you're
it.
You're like Charlie McCarthy without Edgar Bergen.
Well, if you just give me a second.
Regular dummy. Dummy, that is.
Now, wait a minute. I... Put me down off your knee, Senator. Now, what about families earning more money in 1944?
Well, it ain't what people earn, son. It's what they can keep.
You mean?
Most people end up with nothing.
It's the law of averages?
It's the Ways and Means Committee.
The Ways and Means?
If you've got means, they'll find ways to get it. So long, son. So long, that is.
So long, Senator.
Don't forget, vote for Jefferson Davis.
I'll write him in. Well, you can tell the senator's doing a whale of a job. Instead of a cane, he carries a harpoon. Oh, well, let's see if Titus Moody is here.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, you don't look so well tonight, Mr. Moody.
No.
Oh, you have sinus trouble?
Yeah, when I was a little boy, my mother used to pick me up by the nose.
Your mother picked you up by the nose?
I had small ears.
Oh, I... Well, I couldn't see your ears. You have your ear laps on there.
Yeah, I've been out chasing my wife.
Chasing your wife, huh?
My wife had a dog biscuit, accidental.
Ate a dog biscuit?
Yeah, last two nights.
Uh-huh.
She's been running up and down the road barking at strangers.
Well, about these higher wages, how did you do in 1944?
Only made one deal.
One deal, huh?
Yeah, in January, I bought a pig for $8.
I see.
Fed the pig $12 worth of swill.
Yeah.
$20 worth of mash.
Yeah.
December, I sold the pig for $40.
Now, wait a minute. If you bought the pig for $8, spent $12 for swill, that's $20. $20 more for mash, that's $40. And you say you sold the pig for only $40.
Yeah, I didn't make no money.
No?
No, but I had the use of the pig all the year. So long, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody will never know enough to bring home the bacon, I guess. Let's see what happens at this next door.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe Russell and Yussel.
Tell me, Mrs. N., did your family make more money in 1944?
Money is all over.
Oh, really?
In the closets is money.
Closet.
On the shelf is money. The cat, a little pussy, is sleeping on money.
Well, were you, with all this money, were you and Pierre both working?
I am welding with overtime.
Oh, welding, huh?
Pierre is working in the shipyard.
Fine.
He is a funnel sealer.
A funnel sealer?
Yes. When a ship is finished,
uh-huh,
Pierre is sealing up the funnel.
Well, why should he seal up the funnel?
If nothing is in the funnel,
yeah,
smoke can going up.
Oh, I know. Well, what happened to all this money you made?
Pierre is buying a filling station.
Good, a filling station.
Pierre's gasoline heaven.
Gasoline?
Open 23 hours a day.
23 hours? Why not 24?
A man has to sleep.
Oh. Pierre ran the whole station alone?
And what service he is giving.
You mean when a car drove up?
Pierre is running out and combing the raccoon tail on the radiator cap. Next, with a squidgy, he is cleaning the windshield.
Good.
He is waxing the chassis, putting air in the tires, polishing the fender.
I see.
And for the driver, he is shining the shoes, pressing the suit, and blacking the hat.
Hey, with that service, Pierre must have made a fortune.
In 2 months, he is broke.
Broke?
Pierre is so busy combing, cleaning, waxing, shining, and pressing.
Yes?
He is forgetting to sell gasoline.
And today?
He is still calling it Pierre's Gasoline Heaven.
Uh-huh.
But the business is going to...
I see your point.
Thank you.
Well, here we are at the last house in Allen's Alley. Let's see what happens here.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, the DeMarco kids. Have you rented McGee and McGee's house?
Yes, we got it for a song.
And the song is?
It's been a long, long time.
Oh, swell.
Kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Can't remember when. It's been a long, long time.
You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you,
or just how empty they'll seem without you. So kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Kiss me once, kiss me twice, and kiss me once again. It's been a long time. Haven't felt like this before, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long, long time. You never know how many dreams I've dreamed about you. Or just how empty without you. So kiss me once, and kiss me twice, and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. It's been a long
Goodman has just rendered a shorthand version of It Might As Well Be Spring. That's as much music as Mr. Goodman's men can hold on their stands without crowding off their racing form. So it happens every Sunday the same way. Yes, Portland, you were...
Who is our guest tonight?
Well, our guest is a little mix-up, Portland. I did have Balsam Bemis.
Who is Balsam Bemis?
Who is Balsam Bemis? He is the manager of the only theater in New York City that isn't showing an Ingrid Bergman picture this week. But he just called up. He can't make it tonight. His popcorn machine went haywire. It squirted 2 pounds of butter on a statue of Louis B. Mayer in the lobby. And he's there with some bread mopping up the lobby. That's what happens. Our guest stars drop out like that. We never know.
Well, is anyone coming?
Well, Lawrence Melchior, the big opera star, may drop in. He called me up and said that he wanted to see me.
Wasn't Mr. Melchior here 2 years ago?
Oh, it's over 2 years ago. He was griping about Sinatra making $30,000 a week, remember? Mr. Melchior wanted me to get him on the radio.
Well, what does he want tonight?
Well, at that time, I told him to stay in opera. He became a big star, so he probably wants to thank me for giving him that advice.
This must be Mr. Melchior now.
Come in. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Mr. Lawrence Melchior. As a lover of shellfish, Mr. Melchior, I welcome you to our little clam bake.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
The last time I saw you, remember, you wanted me to get you into radio.
Yeah, I am again, Fred.
Lawrence, you mean?
Fred, you've got to get me into radio.
Radio? Why, you were one of opera's biggest stars. I went by the Metropolitan a few weeks ago. You were billed outside. There was a line.
The line wasn't for the opera, Fred.
No.
That was the end of the Paramount light waiting to see Sinatra.
Again with Sinatra. Laura, stop worrying about the narrow nightingale. Don't forget that you are the great Melchior.
But Sinatra makes $30,000 a week.
It's ridiculous. You, the great Wagnerian tenor, would like to be in Sinatra's shoes?
Why not? My shoes have holes in them.
Look! Gosh, you've got paper in the soles.
It's an old copy of Downbeat.
Well, what are a few holes in your shoes? An opera? You are a star.
Fred, make me another Frankie Boyle.
No, Lawrence.
Another Perry Como.
No, Lawrence.
Dick Haynes.
Not even Dick Haynes. Lawrence, think back. What did I tell you 2 years ago?
You said Sinatra was just a flash in the pan.
That's right.
He's been in the pan a long time.
Lawrence, you came to me whining before. I told you to stay in opera.
And I stayed in opera.
Well?
I wish I was dead.
Lawrence, in opera you sing to audiences in top hats, evening gowns, mink windbreakers. Do you want to sing for kids in Sloppy Joe sweaters and Bobby socks?
For $30,000, they can sit in the union suit.
Now, Lawrence, listen to reason.
$30,000. And what does he think? She's a rich
connection. You took some liberty with the lyrics, I see. Lawrence, who could take your place in opera? Carmen Lombardo is on the road by request. You can't give up Tannhäuser, Lohengrin, and Tristan and Isolde.
$30,000, but... Relax.
Darn, Lawrence. Think of your opera tradition. What would the great Melba say if she could hear you now?
Oh, for $30,000, the great Melba would think...
Well, I don't understand what you want in life. You have fame. You just made a picture in Hollywood, didn't you?
Yes, but I was in Thrill of a Romance.
Thrill of a Romance with Esther Williams and Van Johnson. It was a big MGM hit.
Sure. But who saw me?
Who saw you?
The men who looked at Van Johnson.
The Hollywood autograph bands didn't mob you?
Oh, just one little girl asked for my autograph.
Well, that's something.
She thought I was Edward Arnold.
Well, you did better than I did. They kept mistaking me for Thunderhead, son of Pasternak.
Fred, you've got to get me into it.
No, Lawrence, and that is positively final.
You be my manager, Fred.
Be your manager?
We'll split the $30,000, 50-50.
And you'll never regret it, Lawrence Melchior.
When do we start?
Right now. You know, a lot of radio producers and sponsors listen to this program. Now, if you can give an audition, we might get an offer tonight. Is there something you can sing?
How about the Because?
Because, fine. The Jack Benny contest theme song. I like Jack Benny. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Melchior is now available for any and all radio engagements. After his audition song, any producers or sponsors interested in Mr. Melchior for radio can phone us here at the Fred Allen program. Go ahead, Lawrence. Give it plenty of schmaltz. Andy Russell was in the hall and thought it was a choir. He never heard it. That was wonderful, Mr. Melchior.
Any phone calls yet?
No phone calls. Keep your leotard on, Loris. When those phone bells start ringing, you'll think it's a good humor man with St. Vitus dance.
Fred, are you sure the telephone is working?
Yes, it's working, Lars. Now stop biting your nails. Every big producer in radio is probably fishing around for a nickel to call us. Now relax. Ah, there's the phone. Here's the first nibble, Lawrence. I've got it. Hello? Fred Allen, manager of Lawrence Melchior speaking. You heard the audition? You want Mr. Melchior right away? Well, I'll see. Yes, it's the four chicks and a chuck. They want you to fill in.
Do they want me to sing at a chick or a chuck?
Well, I'll find out. You have a choice there. Hello? Oh, you wanted to sing with four other people? Now listen, Mr. Melchior sings as a soloist or not at all. Goodbye.
But Fred, it was a job. What
job? A job, just for 2 weeks. One of the chicks was molting. If you go into radio, Lawrence, you're not sitting on a nest singing with any group. You are singing a solo.
Fred, the telephone.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, Mr. Manville? Tommy Manville, Lawrence. Yes, Mr. Manville. Hold the line. I'll see. Lawrence, do you know Oh, Promise Me?
Fred, I can't sing at weddings. When I open my mouth, I always get a mouthful of rice.
Well, it's a good offer, Lawrence. Not much money singing at Manville weddings, but it's steady work.
No, Fred.
Sorry, Mr. Manville. Thanks for calling. What? No, I don't know Lucy Monroe's number. Goodbye.
Maybe I should sing again, Fred.
Now, Lawrence, stop worrying. Something big will come in any minute.
Maybe we could call back the chicks and the chuck.
No, Lawrence.
If the next is big enough, I could sit.
Now, please, Lawrence, be... Hello? Yes, Mr. Melchior is here. Hold it, I'll ask it. Lawrence.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you sing in a blonde wig and slacks?
In a blonde wig?
It's Phil Spitalny. What shall I tell him?
Tell him my wig size is 7.5.
Yes, Phil. What? No, I won't let him sing falsetto with 14 dames. Goodbye. You're going to sing a solo or nothing.
But, Fred, I'm hungry.
Hungry, Lawrence. Hello? Yes? An offer for Mr. Melchior? What? You sing a solo? We'll be right over. Goodbye. Lawrence, this is it. Grab your hat and alpine stock.
Never mind my hat. Let us go.
All right, let's... this is the studio, Lawrence. See that sign on the door?
Radio Productions Incorporated.
Let's go in.
Can I help you, Jim?
I am Mr. Melchior's manager. This is Mr. Lawrence Melchior.
Oh, Mr. Bateau, Mr. Melchior's here.
Ah, Melchior, the great Melchior, it's you.
How do you do?
Mr. Melchior, everything is ready.
Not so fast, Bateau. Before we sign anything, remember Mr. Melchior will only sing a solo.
It is a solo. The orchestra is 100 musicians.
At last, you're in radio, Lawrence. Are you happy?
Fred, I can never thank you.
Well, the studio is ready, Mr. Melchior, right through here.
And what an orchestra. What an orchestra. Toscanini personally is playing the cymbal.
We're ready, Mr. Fadul.
Here is your music, Mr. Melchior. We're all set to go.
Good luck, Lawrence.
Thanks, Fred.
Quiet, everybody.
Let's go. We're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the glorious voice of the great Lawrence Melchior.
Singing in the bathtub, singing for joy, living the life of life. And singing, oh, I know the life I
Armed Forces Radio Service.
Once again.